So, are you one of those people that think that child trafficking is not the kind of thing that's happening in Connecticut? Well, we've got a very important guest this morning on the award-winning For the People from an organization called Love 146, whose goal is to end child trafficking and exploitation. They journey alongside children impacted by trafficking today and work to prevent the trafficking of children tomorrow. We're going to get into that conversation right now, but we do want to remind you that we're starting to move into the new year here, and maybe you're planning on moving, or maybe you're just decluttering. Well, we want you to tap Wilton Go Green's Fairfield County Donation Guide as a possible resource highlighting local donation sites for Fairfield County residents and businesses. The goal of this project is to repurpose special, gently used items that might feel a little too valuable to just toss away, like tools or furniture and accessories, crochet blankets, children's books, sports equipment, pet supplies, even medical equipment, and more. Find the next forever home for all your no longer needed stuff by visiting wiltongogreen.org/Fairfield-County-Donation-Guide, or just go to wiltongogreen.org and find the Fairfield County Donation Guide on that site. Well, we are welcoming Erin Williamson to the program. She's the Chief Programs and Strategy Officer for Love 146. Erin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have to have a really important adult conversation, just because every time I'm with two or more people and somehow the subject of child trafficking comes up, at least one or more of the other people kind of look down and say, I don't think that's a big problem around here. But you and your organization, in fact, would not exist if it wasn't an issue here in Connecticut and beyond, of course. Let's talk a little bit about you and how you were inspired to come to this organization to help them carry out this critical mission.
No, it surprisingly does exist in every state and in every community, and I know we're going to get into that. I was originally hired by Love 146 to build what is now our survivor care program in Connecticut. My background is in social work and public administration. I have been doing child sexual exploitation throughout my entire career. And I moved here from Washington, D.C. And so it just the alignment of Love 146 looking to build this program the same year that I moved here just seemed very, almost like it was meant to be. We started the program with one person, and now we have over 20 staff members.
So let's talk, excuse me, let's talk a little bit more about the formation of the organization. Let's go back to that one person shop. When did this whole thing get started, and how were you able to grow so quickly into this great team that you have now?
So Love 146 started back in 2002. It actually started internationally, like many of the people who are listening today, and many of the people that you were just referencing. I think a lot of people thought trafficking was something that happened over there, right? In other countries. And our founders really, started the work internationally and supporting programs internationally. But a lot of, as they kind of delved into this and as they learned more, they realized and were sharing with our supporters that, you know, trafficking does happen here in the United States. And it was actually a lot of our supporters that really challenged us to think, okay, this is great that we're helping individuals overseas, but what are we doing here for the children who are being victimized right here in our own community? And that was when they hired me in 2014. I think I started on January 4th, and by January 18th, we were already working with our first youth. And the truth is that we started getting referrals really, really quickly. And again, to your point, it was just, we are a statewide program. So I was running all over the state, meeting with as many children as I could to share information with them, to engage in safety planning with them, to really try to connect them to services and supports. And what really became apparent was that we lacked services and supports for this population, right? I could get them in with a therapist, but that therapist wasn't familiar with human trafficking. I could maybe get them into a mentorship program, but that really wasn't, they weren't specialized to deal with the significant trauma that these youth have experienced. And so we really realized that we needed to build out our own specialized services to work with this population. And that's what we've done. And frankly, year over year, the demand for services, as more and more people hear about us and more people are being trained and recognizing human trafficking in their own communities, the demand continues to outpace our capacity. So at this point, we serve about 150 youth every year. We serve kids in every county in Connecticut. So if any of your listeners are thinking, oh, that only happens in big cities, or that doesn't happen in my community, I can tell you with certainty that unfortunately it does. And we serve kids in your community. Our social workers drive all around the state, really working closely and with not just their children, but their families. It might surprise people to know that, you know, most of our children are living at home when they're first referred to us. Most of our children, their legal guardian is their parent, or another family member. And so we know that it's important not just to support the children with services, but also the parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said, how did you grow so fast? I wish we could double our programs, yeah, because unfortunately we have a wait list right now, sure, of about 30 kids. Mm-hmm. It's been both successful, but it's also uncovered a lot of what is happening in the state.
Yeah. Well, it's challenging, I'm sure, to work the words child trafficking into the brand of a nonprofit. Where did Love 146 come from?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So when our founders, again, went overseas to figure out how do we support what is happening and how do we help children, they did something that you know, we now wouldn't recommend anybody doing, but this was back in the early 2000s when very little was known about this crime and victimization. They actually went undercover with another organization into a brothel. And what they saw were very, very young children, all dressed in red dresses, all with numbers pinned to those dresses. And there was a one-way mirror where the customers in this brothel and bar could see the girls, but the girls could not see the customers that were there to purchase them. And the men were handed menus, and on those menus were numbers associated with the girls that were pinned, the numbers that were pinned onto the girls, and prices for various sexual acts. And, you know, many of the girls were kind of, there was a TV in the room that they were sitting in. Many of them were staring at the TV with fairly, you know, blank faces or blank expressions. But there was one girl, her number was 146, and she was looking out through the mirror. And, you know, I think there was a sense or a hope that maybe she was looking at, out with some fight, but we actually, we don't know what she was thinking. But that girl really stuck with our founders. And unfortunately, a couple of weeks later, when that brothel was raided, somebody had tipped them off. And so the police were unable to rescue these girls. And so they chose to name the organization after that girl because they wanted to, us to always remember and be reminded that while we talk about this issue broadly, oftentimes it is about these individual children who experience this deep form of victimization and trauma. And it is the children who we center in our work.
Well, how do you see this issue right now on the front lines in Connecticut? How big a problem is it?
Yeah, so we started in 2014 and we've almost served our 1,000th child. Like I said, we serve about 150 kids annually. Our services are really meant for children who are 12 and older. Although I will say we have gotten referrals for significantly younger children, and we do our best to help them when we can or support the families. You know, some of the children are groomed and recruited and exploited by individuals that they know, right? These are individuals perhaps in their neighborhood or who they met in a mall or but others are recruited and exploited by individuals they're meeting online. So we have seen kind of a dramatic shift in really needing to engage in online safety with a lot of children and, again, their parents. I think the internet's moving very fast. Apps are changing exceptionally quickly. Privacy settings are not set in a default mode that protects children. So we're definitely seeing kind of an increased need for education around internet safety that just is not happening in our schools, unfortunately, I think, in the way that it needs to be happening. But we're also seeing, you know, vulnerabilities that traffickers are taking advantage of, right? Poverty, lack of parental involvement. These are anytime there's a trafficker, they're going to identify a vulnerability that they can exploit. And, you know, with COVID, unfortunately, what we saw was that these vulnerabilities were significantly exacerbated. So, you know, we're now seeing more children with food insecurities, with housing insecurities. We're seeing a number of children with significant mental health needs, which makes them vulnerable to predators. And then also exacerbates the trauma that they experience, and you know, our mental health system is really being it's beyond capacity to serve all of the children at this point.
Yeah. Well, in the remaining 5 minutes or so that we have with you, Aaron, tell us what parents and caregivers can do, and our listeners who may not be parents or caregivers, there's a job for everybody to do to begin to stem the incidence of child trafficking here in Connecticut and beyond.
There is. And so, you know, I'm going to first talk for parents and caregivers and, like you said, other adults, what they can do to help protect children in their own lives. Actually, if you go to our website, love146.org, on the top, there's a banner that's highlighted, and if it talks about parent resources. If you sign up for that, it's an email series where we give really practical advice about how parents and caregivers and aunts and uncles and older brothers and sisters and really anyone can engage in important safety conversations with their children to help them understand and protect them on the internet and from potential predators. The other thing is, you know, we're a community here, and I really want to your listeners to know that a lot of the support that we receive as an organization and that our children receive is funded through our community, through, you know, our average donation is $25. That makes a difference. Of course, we get some grant funding, we get some state and local government funding, but those, there are huge gaps in our funding structure for us to meet the emergency needs of children, for us to help celebrate their successes. That's where, you know, the people who are listening here today, that's where you can really help us and help these children. So like you said, there is a role for everybody to play. This has to be a movement if we're going to really eradicate the trafficking of children and youth in our state.
Well, you've served over 1,000 in just a little over a decade, and 30 right now as we speak on the waiting list for your assistance. So certainly, as you mentioned earlier, it would be great for Love 146 to be able to grow their staff and resources to be able to keep that waiting list down to zero, and to certainly address the much higher proportional number of child victims who are not receiving the support that they need. As we wrap up the conversation, just remind people of several of the most impactful outcomes that these children have to deal with into adulthood as a result of their being trafficked.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of our children have been experienced significant mental health, right? And even if you deal with the immediate trauma, right, that comes up when you're getting married, when you're thinking of having your own children, when you're raising your children and you're realizing, oh my gosh, my child is now the age I was when I was first exploited. And so those mental health needs, you know, they ebb and flow throughout a person's life. Some of our children have experienced some significant physical violence, and that physical violence can have long-term and even permanent repercussions on them. You know, I think when we also think of the financial consequences, many of our children are missing or dropping out of school. And so we focus heavily on school re-engagement because we know that financial independence is really a huge protective factor. However, you know, that educational loss has real financial implications if we're not able to get those kids into jobs, into career paths, to help them find a way and see a way forward where they can economically sustain themselves and their families going forward. So yeah, there's kind of that immediate trauma, but I also really appreciate you recognizing the long-term trauma, the long-term implications for this form of victimization into adulthood.
I appreciate that. Erin Williamson is Chief Programs and Strategy Officer for Love 146. Their singular goal, put child trafficking out of business here in Connecticut and beyond. We hope you'll get to know this organization, learn more, and share that information with all of your friends. Anyone you know who has a child needs to know what Love 146 can offer you as some of their resources at their website, love146.org. Erin, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.